Welcome back to another episode of ABA Mom. I'm your host, Allie. And today we have an exciting, incredibly important topic to dive into, quality supervision and applied behavior analysis. I am thrilled to introduce a guest today, Diamond, who is a board certified behavior analyst and a passionate advocate for high quality supervision in our field. Diamond, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Allie. It's a pleasure.
Of course. Quality supervision is so crucial, especially for those entering the field and for the clients that we serve. So to kick things off, Diamond, can you share a little bit about your background?
Yes, thanks for asking. So I started in the field of ABA in 2015. I started in the ABA group homes where it was like very, very intense behaviors. The ages ranged from 5 to 43. They were obviously different houses. Everybody wasn't in one house, but it was different houses that you would go to. And we had one female house. Don't really go there. Then from there, I was working with behaviors and they told me like, hey, you're pretty good at this. You should become an RBT. So I became like a behavior specialist while I was there, which believe it or not, we were all doing RBT work. We just had no idea that's what that was.
That just seems to happen all the time. Like people become RBTs before they know what RBTs
yeah.
are.
So then at that point, I went off and became registered in 2018. And then I went to another like in-home company where we did like in-home school and community. And then from there, I went to a startup clinic. I helped start that clinic up. It was pretty fun. I got scammed out of my hours. That was great. And then I came back in like in-home school community, so in clinic, and then I went to another clinic. So really just all settings. But good story here is Allie is my like prior supervisor, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, that, I mean, you were amazing as a supervisee too. Hopefully, I feel like today, when we talk about quality supervision, you're also probably going to give me some feedback. Your experiences, you know, I do feel that it's very important that we have good quality supervision, because I think what happens is sometimes we kind of like talk shop and it's not really good supervision, because a big part of supervision is that hands-on piece, the modeling, which I think is something that you have amazing skills in. Because sometimes I've even gotten to sessions and then I'm the supervisor and the supervisee just wants to talk. They just want to chat with me because, you know, I think sometimes it becomes like a venting session and it becomes something that it's not meant to be. Of course, we want to talk about, you know, the concerns we have with our clients, the concerns we have with our parents. But what do you believe defines quality supervision?
I think it like BST, honestly, like that behavior skills training.
Yes.
If you touch all of that, I think you are really providing like that quality piece. And like you said, just getting in there modeling, but then also I think being able to give feedback. Well, that's in BST. Like, honestly, I think that covers it all. If you are really doing that, I think you're providing quality supervision.
For those that are new or, you know, just kind of getting into the field, can you kind of explain what BST is?
Yes. So it's behavior skills training. I pride myself on doing this. It's really going in, providing like that verbal instruction, and for all the gurus, don't hold me accountable. Like I'm going to mention them all, I may not be in order, but that verbal instruction. And then of course, like modeling the skill that you want to see, and then allowing them, like you want to role play it with them, and then allowing them to do that skill with the client, and then you providing them that feedback, and then they model again until they get, you know, that 80% accuracy or whatever it is that you're going for until it hits fidelity.
Yeah. And then the 80% accuracy just seems to be kind of the standard. And then I think another thing too is that interzorbal agreement too, to make sure that, you know, you're taking the same data. Especially I've had a couple RBTs that, you know, they struggle with data or they get really kind of finger happy or pencil happy and they're just, you know, yes, they're doing it. I'm like, no, we didn't.
We
you
didn't
need to
see
see the
that.
definition. That's not what it says.
Yes. And I can agree with that. Like that is a big piece. And even your like most strongest RBTs, if you really take that IOA data or that inter-observer agreement data, you'll see like you are engaging in a little bit of observer drift here, because that's not it. So.
Right. Yeah, I think that's definitely an important piece too. So what do you think about, you know, ongoing training? Because I think sometimes too is like, you know, we go to supervision and it's, you know, it's like, okay, so what are we going to talk about today? The clients, pretty successful and the RBT is pretty great. So what are some skills that you can give a pretty seasoned RBT? What do you think would be a good supervision session?
Honestly, it's like going in, and for me, I tell my RBTs all the time, like, I'm going to give you feedback, and nobody's perfect. So it's like, if they have these skills down packed, or the client has these skills down packed, oh, now it's time to add in new goals and for me to like train you on those goals. And now, if you are so seasoned, like, now I'm throwing in words at you. Now I'm trying to make sure, like, I always tell my RBTs, I want to leave you with something you didn't have before I came here.
I like that one.
I want to provide knowledge to you. I want to provide you with the skill. I want, and a lot, like you said, like a lot of them, they do want to talk, but I think it's setting that foundation from when you start with them that this is not that. Like, we're not doing that, because I think also, especially in the homes, I know if I was getting like services and the BCBA came, I wouldn't want y'all talking the entire time. Like, my child is still over here. They still need services. What's going on? So, what are we doing today? Like, I don't need that. So, just also like nitpicking at that point. Like, I try to make it to where I'm coming in and I'm fixing something. I'm giving you a compliment, but I tell people all the time, like, I'm not giving you no fake, like, that was a good job. You did, like, if you hear great feedback from me, it's because I really mean it. And it's typically because I'm like, gave you a skill and now you're doing it. Like, that instant reinforcement at you doing the skill. And it could just be your wording. Like, I'm going to change something.
Yeah, there's always something that can be modified too. I mean, and I think so sometimes if I'm like, okay, the programs are running really smoothly, it's a time to kind of probe skills, or maybe I'll even see something just kind of in their natural environment. I was like, okay, let's try this.
Yes,
So
now
just,
teach them. Like, I'll teach them about like probing skills and kind of like what the, and that within itself is a skill that they need to know, because let it help you as a BCBA. Like, hey, if you're probing this, don't give them a great job, no consequence behind it, just a simple okay, and let it be done. So it's like, that within itself is training as well.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I like that too, that to teach them to probe, because it's not just, us as the analyst saying, okay, like let's probe and try this. You want to teach them to just kind of seek out some new skills for your client to do or to
Yes.
grow. It's like, okay, I think they're really close to mastering this goal. And I do that all the time where it's like, they've almost mastered it, but let's just see if we can go into the next, short-term objective. Let's see if we can just do it.
Or like, I've had some clients where they've required like that MTT, that multiple trial training, and I have like learned to fade from that. So if some people do like an MTT 3, one client of mine in particular, he needed that. But then when we went straight down to like, okay, let's go back to independent or that random rotation, he couldn't do it. So we faded to like an MTT 2. However, once we got to like an MTT 2 and then that MTT or just the regular like independent, he started playing, because now we're presenting it so much and he knows it. And he's like, so my RP's like, I think he's like playing. I know he knows this and I think he's just bored with it. So I straight up said, like, he can, if I probe this and he does them perfectly, we're done with this goal. Like,
Yeah.
we are done. We're moving on.
And I've seen that too, where it's just the client is just kind of done. They are not motivated to do the skill at this point, and they're just done with it. So
Like, we presented it way too many times for him. And he's like, yep, I know this, but now I'm about to, and he will like point to the wrong one on purpose, knowing, but he's looking at the right one. And I'm like, yeah.
And sometimes with that's even difficult. I've even done that with, a new skill, and they still, it's intentional. Like they are like, so what do you do in that situation? I know you said you're like, okay, so we're done with this goal. What do you do in the situation where you're teaching a new skill and you're like, okay, I think they really know how to do this, but they're kind of just messing around.
I will probably put it in their program, especially if, depending on like if they're old enough to really understand. Like, I talk to them and tell them, like, listen, if you can really do this, show me, because if not, it's going in your program, like, and we're going to work on it. And I'll probably, instead of doing them like back to back, I'll probably throw one random in there, like that behavioral momentum, just to really see. Or I'm prompting you through, like, we're gonna go, because I am very much a systematic prompter, embedded prompts in the program like nobody's business. So it's like, you don't know this? Okay, no worries.
I really like that you said that, because I was thinking the same thing, that it's an avoidance behavior, right? So it's like, okay, I'm gonna mess this up, and then we're gonna do this so many times, and I'm gonna, create all these errors on purpose, so that way eventually you'll stop doing it with me.
Yeah, and it's like, no.
do the opposite.
Right, exactly.
Especially for those older clients. Like, I've had that with a teen client sometimes. It's like, I know you could do this.
Yeah. Or it's like kind of figuring out, and I'll straight up ask, like, what do you want? Like, what do you want from here? What do you want to do? Okay, well, let's get this done so we can do it. But we have to get it done right.
So, what kind of new advice would you give for a brand new BCBA who is starting supervision?
Starting like providing supervision to others, I would say model, 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 model. If I have to give anybody who knows me, I have given this answer multiple times, like model, because you're going to have those seasoned RBTs who are going to feel like, oh, you just passed your test, you don't know what you're doing, or you're constantly telling them what to do, but you can't do it. Like anything I tell my RBTs to do, I can do it
You
myself.
should be able to, right?
And I've had that supervision with an analyst before where she told me one time, I'll never forget, and I still bring this up to this day because it was so funny. She was salty. She came in there, it was my client. I've been working with him for a very long time. And she's like, you need to, like, I forgot what it was, but it was something that I knew you can't do with him. And she's like, you need to, let's just say, like, move to the left. And it's like, that's not gonna work with him because he's gonna elope out the door. Well, yeah, you just need to do like move to the left. So I'm like, okay, can you show me? Like, research shows, you know what? Just show me what you're looking for. And when I told her to do that, she literally started working with the client, but she verbally was explaining to me what she wanted done. And I said, no, I need for you to show it. Like,
I
she's like,
like how you said
it's
the
just like you
show.
would, it's just like you would, but you're gonna move to the left. Like, do it, please show me. Research shows that modeling is the most successful. So please show me. And then I was like, you know what? Can you just show me what you're looking for through the session? And she wanted to wring my neck off. She was so mad, but she realized it can't be done. So it's like, I think modeling it.
Think that's great. I love that. And I love you're like, okay, just show me. Like, 'cause you can talk all you want. And I also want to bring up because I do think it is important to still have that verbal feedback, but you can walk and talk, right? It's like, okay, so we're with the client, we're involved. I can talk to you and give you feedback while you're in the client. I think right there in that moment is so important versus, like you're just quiet and observing.
And I agree. Like, that's honestly the way I supervise. I tell them from the very beginning, like, this is like a game. I'm the coach or the player. We cannot exist without one another. And I really
Right.
take like that coach perspective. Like, yes, just like that. There you go. Okay, move to the left. You got it.
I love that.
I am like really in there. But when they do it, like, you can see they're so proud. Or like, I'll slowly be like, change your tone. Like, just under my breath so they can hear, but it doesn't like affect the client while they're in, and they can fix it in that moment, and then they can see it. They can
And
actually see the results.
that's a really good point too, is just to like be mindful of the client, because I've even had situations where the RBT is talking to me about the client. I've had it with a couple parents too, where we're just kind of talking. It's like, okay, so this behavior and right in front of the client who hears everything. So you also want to just be mindful. So some things you talk about in front of the client and provide feedback, and sometimes you use cues and you know each other's cues, or sometimes you talk about it after.
Like, you have to know, because I have one client, and this, me personally, like, I think a hybrid model is like the perfect model for supervision, like in person, but also telehealth to kind of get those graphs updated, because it's so hard when you're like in there. How,
There's some I'm just like, I'm doing a lot less time on
yeah,
the computer and updating all the things I need to update because
yes, and that's when you end up like taking it home with you.
yes.
Because it's like, geez,
I
y'all didn't
was
take
a take home
forever.
person for a while. I was like, no, I'm gonna start doing it.
Really?
Vision.
It's so much and it's nonstop. And I'll never forget, I did telehealth one time. We had hybrid. And with this particular client, he was very aware when I was there. He was attention seeking. So it was like the behaviors were way worse when he would see me, just because he knows, like, sometimes I'm gonna jump in and he'll get himself together, but it's like, no, I need for them to have the stem control and not me.
Not just you, right?
I had the headphone in my ear and it was the best supervision. Like, I wanted to recommend him for telehealth because I was telling her exactly what to say,
Ooh, I like
how
that.
doing it, like, while she was working with him, but he couldn't hear me. So she would say it literally verbatim right after me and it would work like magic. It's like, yes.
That's awesome. I've never tried that before. I love that. Just put a headphone in
Just put
and
one
love
headphone
that.
in because he doesn't know. And I would just tell them, like, let them know you're in supervision, because obviously they weren't allowed to have headphones. But I'm like, you need a headphone so I can really tell you what to say. Because, like, one time he was trying to escape, like, playing a game, and I was like, give him a first stand. First game, back to the room, and it was like night and day. He was amazing.
That's such a great idea to have the headphone in. I might consider that. I could think of a couple times where that would have been really beneficial. So
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I don't know.
And telehealth too, I do feel like what you were just saying, that's a good client for telehealth. I've also experienced it where there are clients that are not good for telehealth. Just, the supervision tends to be, more blocking and redirecting the client for most of the session. And that, as far as any, the downside to that when, you have those intensive behavioral clients, is that as far as the paperwork side of it goes and updating your graphs and doing program modification, it's harder to get to that during session. So what do you think is a good balance for that if you have, the program part of it, part of your supervision, and then being active in your supervision, how do you balance that?
Honestly, and this is just my approach. I go in from the very beginning and I train my staff like nobody's business. Like, I am probably barely touching the computer because once they have those skills, I can now sit on my computer and update what I
Now
need
do
to.
it.
But I really can't look at graphs if you're not implementing anything with fidelity.
That's a great point.
So it's like just making sure to get that hands-on modeling like portion first. Even if
Right.
we're doing this for a week, 2 weeks, whatever the case may be, 3 weeks, however long I need till when I'm coming in here, you now know what you're doing. Now I can look at the graphs because now I know you're doing it right.
And I've even heard, I heard one time at a conference, they said, the one thing for supervision is we don't want to just be like in the West Wing, like we're on the other side. So I love that you're so hands-on. I think that's so insightful for, especially for, I think even seasoned analysts, but also new analysts coming in are, and maybe they didn't have great supervision. Maybe their supervision was their supervisor just sitting on the computer. And so they just don't, they're not sure what they should be doing.
I think I got the best compliment from one of my RBTs, and it was like almost a comparison. And she was like, I like when you're here because it's like we're a team, as to
I
where
love
one of the
it.
other supervisors, like, she's just telling me what to do because this was a very high intense client. And it's like, I'm not going to tell you move the chair if you're blocking him. I'm just going to move it. And like, we're going to work together to sit in this chair. Like, we're not going to be, move the chair, block the left, do the right. Like, let me help you, at least show you. So therefore, the next time, and if you jump
Yeah,
in,
so they know what to do.
exactly, now they're looking like, okay, I see how you handled it. I can do it.
Well, Diamond, thank you so much for joining today and shedding some light on essentials to supervision. I hope that our listeners today can take away some of these tips and promote quality supervision in their own practices.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It was nothing short of a pleasure.
Yeah, and thank you guys so much for tuning in to ABA Mom. If you enjoyed the discussion, please be sure to subscribe and leave a review.